the purpose right now is as we see the change going on in our world, in our community, in our country, and if you're watching close and paying attention and looking beyond the mainstream media, and you'll see things that's not being showed. I'm just going to elaborate that on just for a few minutes. I see so much college football players doing things in Jesus' name and saying it. And now they're not bleeping them off the TV. They're allowing them to say it on TV. If you've seen Ohio State's victory, whether you're a fan or you are not, the pregame, all them members of that football team, they didn't gather in one group. There was individual prayer meetings going on. I hope that it is sincere, heartfelt things, not lip service. But I had been hearing earlier in the year of a revival going on at that football team. Another positive thing, if you've been following any of the confirmations as our government is going into a new set of hands and they're confirming different staff members, representatives, whoever they might be, that if you're watching and all the muck and mud that's being thrown and pulled and old dirty stuff being dug up, as we all have. Mind you, we all have that dirt and muck in our lives, in our past. We are all lost sinners and undone without Jesus Christ. The two that I watched a video after their confirmation gave glory to God and went on to say, in their Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, there again, I don't know their hearts. And I hope it's not lip service. But I see a trend going on right now. And this message here this morning is very encouraging to me and for me and motivates me, because we talked a lot about stuff in Sunday school class this morning, things that drag us down, things that the difference between chastisement and guilt. I've felt guilty my whole life for things that I've done, things for my whole life. And that helps me to realize God's not stomping me down in my guilt. He's lifting me up out of that guilt. And I'm praying that our country might be looking at that. And I keep going back to Josiah Manifesto. Read that in the book of Kings. How he makes a turn. He's following God, and how he sees the word of God, and how he sees the results of God being shoved out of the nation of Israel and seeing what's going on. So I just want us to know here this morning, Christians, we're not fighting a losing battle. We are not fighting a losing battle. There's going to be, we'll go through some examples here, but I'm going to start out, I'm going to open the sermon right now, unless the Lord changes. I'm going to open it with the scripture from 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 52 through 58. You'll be familiar with those, and I'll be closing with that same scripture. So if y'all would, once you get there, if y'all would, please rise for the reading of God's word. Is God's word important to you this morning? It is a good time to be a Christian in this world today. As much disaster as we see going on, but from a Christian perspective, if you're looking at it from the focal point of Jesus Christ, the focal point that God is King, you'll see His hand at work right now. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption,
our bodies must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hear that right there. Death is swallowed up in what? Victory. Victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the common denominators in that verse right there? Victory in Jesus Christ. Victory in Jesus Christ. That was verse 57. Verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, Christian brothers and sisters, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, again, we just bow here before you with your word open before us. I pray that our hearts are open to receive the message from the Holy Spirit. Let it stir us, let it move upon us as only it can. I pray this morning for your blessing on each and every one that made their way out. I ask for you to stir the hearts of those that could have, and I pray for those that are in their homes right now, Lord God. Just bless them as only you can. And again, I ask for you to bless our pastor and Miss Tink as they travel. Give them a great time and a great rest. And again, I ask for you to forgive me where I fail you. And these favors we ask in Christ's name, and all God's people says, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank him for his hope that he gives us through Jesus Christ. I'm going to start out by talking about something Inez said caught me this morning. The old ones and the new ones. Okay, it's a continuing thing. We need each other. I need you all. You all need one another in support. If we was all single people sitting on islands here, we wouldn't be getting along. It would be, what can you guys do for me? We would all be selfish. But we're here together to support one another, to help one another, to encourage one another. And I'm going to start out by reading in Exodus, talking about, there again, goes right back to the old and the young. Or the old and the new. It's going to be an example you've heard before. Exodus 17, I'm going to read verses 8 through 16. And it says, and then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Amalek was a descendant of Esau. Does everybody know who Esau is? He was the brother of Jacob who sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. Okay, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. And Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereupon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the other side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge
of the sword. The point right there is like we're not fighting a losing battle. I want us to see the battles that have went on in God's name, that have went on in the scriptures, that gives us encouragement to go on. But Moses, and he was elderly at the time, and he was holding up, he was doing God's work. He was standing there with that rod up, but his body grew weary. His body began to sink. And when his arms was down, they would lose the battle. And who helped? Who encouraged him? Who supported him? One another. Aaron and Hur, the new ones, the young ones, whoever it might be. And they propped him up and held his hands up high. That it's not a hopeless case, that they were going to have victory because of obedience to God's word. If Moses, we remember some of the things he did that was not actually in line with what God had told him to do, and we've seen the kind of trouble he got into. But in that respect, his muscles, his body gave out. But the young ones come along and held him up. And what they have? They had victory. They had victory in the face of that army. I'm going to read just one more. Yeah, verse 14 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Okay. "And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissa. For he said," now listen to this, "for he said, because the Lord had sworn that the Lord would have war with Amalek from generation to generation." So here we're generations away from Moses. And who's the battle still with? Satan. The enemies of God. So we saw then that they had victory. And let this be example to us as we battle still Satan and his minions, yeah, his helpers. But as they continue to battle us, we got to encourage one another. I might need you to hold my arms up sometime. You might need me to hold your arms up sometime. And we all need to be holding our pastor's arms up all the time. That's why we come together, because it's a battle that's going to be from generation to generation, as it said right there. And it will continue. I'm going to go on to 2 Kings. Just another example to example of a hopeless situation, that it's a battle that somebody's thinking they're going to lose, and when God is revealed. 2 Kings 6:14. "Therefore sent the hither horses," and this was the Syrian king, sent an army and the chariots and a great host, "and they came by night and surrounded the city about," or compassed the city about. "And when the servant of the man of God had risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horse and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, what shall we do?" Have you been in that situation? I've been there. It's like, oh, what do I do? I run in the closet and hide and cover up, so hoping it'll go away. Instead of hiding in my guilt, I get up and stand. Because we know, if you are a Christian, it's not hopeless. Verse 16 says, "And he answered," and this is Elijah telling his assistant, "for they, fear not, for they be with us are more than they be with them." Do you think about that scripture when you're out there and you feel like you're on an island and all alone and everybody's going to get you? Mom would say, everybody hates me, nobody likes me, you're going out and eat worms. You remember that? We said that a lot when we was kids. That might have been dating myself, I don't know. Miss Patty remembers, don't you? Yeah, yeah. So, but instead of that, he's saying we got to be encouraged by that. That we will see victory when we're in times of distress, times of, what's that word? Anxious. I get anxious awful easy. I went down with Sue and was helping out there a little bit with the food pantry, and it was like I was just nervous as a cat in a room of rocking chairs, just because I was afraid I'd get in the way, afraid of what to do. And I'm standing there with Christians. They're going, chill out, man. We'll hold your arms up. We'll help you out. And it did. It worked out great. What an awesome thing. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. He's telling us that right now, for us to open our eyes that we can see and know we will have victory. We are not in. He said, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots round about Elijah. That's become one of my favorite scripture text, and I've told this before, but anyways, it has to do with our dad when he passed away, and Mom said she felt so bad because he was alone. He was by himself when it happened. And then God showed me this scripture. He wasn't alone. He wasn't alone at all. He was surrounded with the Lord. You are not alone. Okay. Now, up into the New Testament, we're going to get a bit. We're going to talk about the case from a human perspective, from people that's watching and maybe not knowing. And this was, remember, before the Holy Spirit had came. This was before the Word of God. So they didn't have the knowledge that we had as they witnessed Judas betraying Jesus. Now we know who Jesus was. We know who he still is because of the scriptures. But at that time, and then they go, he's betrayed, and it was already talked about when Peter denied him three times. Would that not appear as a hopeless situation? Would that not appear as a losing battle to those round about? Even the disciples thought they were lost, thought that battle was going to be lost, thought that that was going to happen. I'm going to read Matthew 27, verses 27 through 37. And it says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in the right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and they took the reed and smote him on the head. How hopeless of a situation does that appear to be to the human eye, to the unknowing, that we can't comprehend that because we know what the Word of God has said. But at that time, it sure seemed like a hopeless case. Wouldn't you agree? And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him, to kill him, to end his life. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled to bear his cross.
And when they were come up to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, that is the place where he hung on the cross. They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink it. Have you been to that point in situations in your life when it all seems hopeless? We're just waiting on him to die. They mocked him. They cursed him. They were shameful to him. Not knowing. But it seemed pretty hopeless for Jesus Christ. It seemed pretty hopeless to the disciples. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Verse 37, and set up over his head his accusation, this is the King of the Jews. Now imagine that. He's hanging up there. His head is down. They poked him in the side. He is dead. He is dead. He is dead. So, it still seemed hopeless to all those round about. His mother, John the Beloved, Mary, maybe Martha was there. One of the, all the soldiers that mocked him, they witnessed what had just occurred and thought it was over. He was put in a tomb. Stone was put to seal it. All done, right? All done. By the world standards, it was all done. Verses 6-10. He is not here. He is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. That was the angel that was sitting on the stone or over the opening when Mary and Martha came. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. The word of God right now is telling us that Jesus has risen. Jesus overcome death, hell, and the grave. Jesus confirmed the scripture, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and didn't run to bring his disciples word. And as they all went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, they have come and held by his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus says in verse 10, Jesus says, now by the world standard, Jesus was dead and couldn't be happening, but we're seeing the victory that Jesus had over death, hell, and the grave, and we're seeing from Jesus' own mouth, then said Jesus unto them, unto his disciples, unto you and me right here today, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Victory. Victory in a hopeless, what appeared to be a hopeless situation. We've got to remember that in our lives today as we go out in our daily battles. We've had lots of lessons recently about the armor of God. He has supplied everything we need to withstand the wiles of the devil. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, and he's speaking to us today, right now, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus Christ
is not on that cross. That cross represents what he done. As you'll go to certain places, you'll see a cross with Christ still on it. Christ is not on that cross. Christ got down, was took down off of that cross and went to the grave. And 3 days later, he rose again. He is alive and well. And he is sitting on the right hand of the Father here this very minute, making intercession for you and me and you and me and you and me and all around. That's the victory that you have as a Christian. And mind you, I'm telling y'all, I'm one of those that gets caught up in stuff, and if I don't keep making it flee, as he talked about saying, Satan, get thee behind me, I'd be hiding in that closet again. But Satan, get thee behind me, and that works. Use it. Use the tools that God has given you. We talk about, I heard prayer brought up this morning. Prayer has been much in my personal God ministering to me about prayer, and I'm trying to overcome Jamie to be able to reach God as David did. He seeked God fully and completely. Because why? Because he knew who God was. He knew what God had done. He knew there was victory in a relationship with God. I'm about done here. So we're right back. Right back, right here. This comes to mind when I was talking about my encouragement for me to be a better representative of the Lord. Mark 9, 23 and 24. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That was a father whose son was possessed. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. We should all be doing that here this morning. Help our unbelief. I'm about done, Mama. I'm about done. So, right back again. Remember, from generation to generation, the battles will continue. So, if you've seen the results, you know, all this that's going on, that, man, looks very positive in our world. Things I see, but I had to remind myself and some of those around, you know, when we were discussing some of the positive things that we've seen, but it's still temporary. It's still temporary. So we got to be much in prayer. We got to maintain our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. As Ken was, look beyond what we're seeing in front of our faces. I believe we're seeing the hand of God moving right here. Okay? But we got to remember, we're still in a temporary stage till, and I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 15, 52 through 58 again. Now, listen to this from the encouragement we just received from God's Word. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The world tells us that death is a tragedy. If you can, just listen, just this next few seconds of the value of God's Word, what it says. Death, the world says death is a tragedy. But we know otherwise, right, don't we? The tragedy is dying and going to hell. That's the tragedy. Death is part of life. Okay, we've all seen it. We've witnessed it in loved ones, family members, whatever. And as hard as it is part of life. But the tragedy is not being ready. The tragedy is not being able to experience the victory that Jesus gave us on that cross. I pray this morning, if there's someone here today that don't know Jesus as their Savior, today might be the day that if your heart is being stirred, if you're thinking, I remember a guy telling me one time, he said he was at a church service and people was testifying and the Spirit was moving. And he said, I felt like I should stand up, but he wasn't even a Christian. He said, what was making me do that? I said, that was the Holy Spirit. He was stirring your heart. If he's doing that for you this morning, I pray that you respond to that stirring that is going on inside you. That is something greater than we can imagine, the Holy Spirit, when he's stirring in your heart. If that's going on this morning, make a stand for Jesus. Come forward. Somebody will pray with you. Pray in your pew. It says, O death, where is thy sting? Because being a Christian, death is just a step toward heaven. O grave, where is thy victory? Satan thought he'd won, didn't he? When Jesus was in that tomb and the stone put there, Satan thought he had it. There was no victory there. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for that victory here today? Can you proclaim him as your Savior? Can you worship him in spirit and in truth? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We all have a purpose. Wherever it might be, whatever job you're doing, wherever the Lord takes you, you have a purpose. And there's somebody out there that needs to hear you say, you know, Jesus loves you. Amen. I remember being that guy. John Arnold talked to me for 2 hours in the cab of a pickup truck going racing. I'm thinking racing, and he's teaching me about grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ and faith, hope, and love, and mercy, and stuff that, why? I never heard that before. That's the victory that we can have through Jesus Christ. John 16:33 says, and Jesus quote says, in this world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Are you an overcomer this morning? Have you received Jesus as your Savior? I hope that this will encourage you as we go back out these doors, back out into that battle, that temporary battle that'll only last for a season, and we can be in the presence of the Lord. Ain't you looking forward to that, to being in the presence of the Lord when he says, welcome in, good and faithful servant? Are you thankful for that? As they pull up a song there, and you all stand, we'll sing. But if you have a need here this morning, and it's not even if you're not saved, here is a great place to come and pour your heart out to him. Not to show everybody else what you do or whatever, I'm guilty or that, shame on them if they think that. But if you're up here to seek God as David did, if you're up here to seek Jesus and ask for his forgiveness in your life, as Peter did, and if you're up here to want to serve and want to grow and be stronger, remember, we're not fighting a losing battle. We will have victory. We do have victory because of what? Because of Jesus. Bottom line, because of Jesus. Let's all stand and sing.